Let's go over a couple of things. What we've done so far, we've looked at several memory verses. And as we mentioned, who remembers what our first memory verse was? Okay, so who wants to volunteer and stand up and quote it for us? Oh, no. Come on now. Okay, Joe, come on. This can be a team effort, husband and wife. Okay, Joe and Sue. Romans 1:16. Okay, here we go.
That one I know. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, I'm looking at
salvation. Everyone that believes that you personally also do agree. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith.
As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Very good. Excellent. Okay. Who remembers the next set of verses that we want to commit to memory?
First Corinthians 15:1-4.
Okay, so who wants to quote that one?
I delivered unto you first.
Okay, who wants to quote that one? Come on, volunteers, who wants to quote that one? Okay, Allie, stand up, please. Okay, that's okay, we'll come back. We'll come back. Okay, I was going to refresh her memory real quick, and then she'll stand up and quote it for us. Excellent. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Berta wants to quote one. Romans 1:16. Come on now. You just said that was the one you knew, right?
Yeah,
come on. Well, let's go. Stand up and quote it. Putting you on the spot here. You're out witnessing to someone, so you got it. Here, wait. Stand up, please. Sid, stand up. Face her. She's witnessing to you. Face her. Give her an evil eye. She's going to quote a verse of Scripture.
For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile.
Agreed. Excellent. Good. All right. Thank you. Very good. Okay. Anybody else? Now, the teens are wide awake back there. Which one of you guys wants to quote what verse? Remember the real short verse, Jesus wept? You want to try that one? That's what they're doing. At okay. The teens wept or whatever. So, all right. Anybody else want to try a memory verse we've looked at so far? Anybody else want to try one? What's that?
From the book of Hesekiah.
Yeah, really.
Jeremiah was a
bullfrog. Adrian is studying pretty hard right there. You want to try one, Adrian?
Yeah.
I can't quote it.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else want to try it? So. Okay.
From memory one?
Yeah, from memory. Or another verse.
It was Thessalonians.
Yeah. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Anybody remember that one? 1 Thessalonians 2:4. For as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Remember that verse? Even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Remember that one? That was 1 Thessalonians 2:4. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. These are just a few verses that you want to have memorized. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. Cindy wants to try one, right? Okay. Yeah, she looks like she was raring to go here. So, okay, anybody else have a memory verse they want to try? Tony, did you want to try one? Which one do you want to try? You know, let me ask you this way. Go ahead.
Romans 5:1.
Okay, go ahead.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a great verse, isn't it?
We have access
into this grace wherein we stand. That is a great verse to use. By the way, I'm going to pick on Tony here. We use him a couple of examples as the day progresses. I don't know if you guys know Tony for every Saturday for how many months now?
Almost 2 years.
Two years. Pretty much every Saturday. Maybe in 2 years you missed one. Maybe right? Something like that. But
the first year I might have missed 1 or 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But
he goes out to the pier at Oceanside and passing out tracts for 2 or 3 hours out there.
I don't pass out tracts. In fact, I don't give them away very freely. Okay. In fact, I charge them a quarter for
it. Oh, that's there we go.
if they really seem interested, they ask for the tract, and I say, I'm sorry, I got to charge you a quarter for that.
Wow.
I think it makes them more apt to read it.
Yeah.
Right?
But he's out there trying to talk to people about the Lord. So the verse like that is fantastic. You know, Romans 5:1. Yeah. So just trying to create. One thing that you want to understand about sharing the gospel with people is not everybody is going to do it the same way. Just find something that... You don't want to necessarily say find something that you're comfortable with. Find something that forces you to get a little outside your comfortable zone. You don't have to go way outside. But sometimes you can go way outside your comfort zone. But just find something that you're comfortable with, but maybe pushes you a little bit. But there's always different kinds of ways to reach people.
When
and so,
I started out there was what made me think of doing it was there was another guy out there from Calvary Chapel that he just focuses on the Marines.
Yeah.
There's a continuous flow of Marines out there from Finland on the pier. And I'd see him out there every Saturday, and I just thought, I mean, hey, you mind if I join you? He goes, sure, you go after the civilians and I'll go after the Marines. Well, we've worked pretty well with each other. We've met, we prayed together, and you can tell my prayers are a little different.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where we got in a heated argument where he wanted to pounce on me. I feared for
about right division. Yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's get back to the class here. All I'm saying is, if you want some specific examples. Because you've led a number of people to the Lord right there already.
Yeah, the Lord up there.
That's pretty cool.
16-year-old boy just drew it right in. I never knew that.
Now, you've talked to a lot of people to get to those 16. So remember just the illustration we did yesterday. No. You're going to get lots of people that aren't interested, but you're going to run across some people who are willing. Okay? All right, so let's do this now. What we're going to cover today in this first lesson and in the lesson after lunch, the three critical questions and then the crunch questions. Does everybody have that handout from the flyer? Everybody should have that handout. Look in one of the folders. It should be on the left side in the back of the folder, and there should be plenty to go around. Yeah, left side pocket of the folder. So look in that folder there, and it'll be in the left side. All right, if you're going to... Romans 1:16, we learned. It says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. If we're going to give the gospel to someone, what do they have to hear? Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to talk about this morning is that you can see that rectangular block thing there. There are three points. Every time you're going to give the gospel to someone, if possible, this is what you're trying to give. You may not be able to get through this because they may stop you, and that's fine. But what you want to do is make sure to cover these three critical points. And as you can see, on the first one there, if you go left to right, the first one is all of sin. And we'll talk about these in detail as we go. The second one is redemption is in Christ alone. The third one is faith in His blood. That's just your basic memory jogger. Okay, sometimes you want to just create something to jog your memory, what I need to cover. All right, what's the first point?
All of sin.
What's the second point? What's the third point?
Faith
in the blood. So those things. So in your mind, as you're talking to that person, after you've asked permission, we're going to talk more about asking permission the second lesson today. But if that person gives you permission, then in your mind, what you've got to remember to cover, okay, all of sin, what's point number two?
Redemption
in Christ alone. What's number three? See, so that's what you're training yourself. I need to cover this, this, this. And you can do that in all of 30 seconds to 4 minutes, whatever, depending on how much time that the person is giving you. And that you have right there. All right. So, what's the first point? Second point. Third point. See how simple that is to know. Okay. I mean, when you trusted Christ, whoever was sharing the gospel with you, and you really got saved, they gave you the right gospel. That's what fundamentally what they did. They might have talked about some other things, but they had to cover those three things. So, when you trusted Christ, you actually came to understand those things right then and there. So let's talk briefly about these things. Point number one there, all have sinned. What you're trying to do there is you're trying to establish the need, not just of everyone, but the need of the person you're talking to. That's critical. So you want to bring it from all have sinned to you have sinned. See the difference there? I remember years ago sharing the gospel with my sister. And I was just, I was, you know, she wasn't getting this, wasn't getting that. We just wasn't getting it. You know, and I'm thinking, why is she getting it? And that verse, all have sinned, because I kept using that verse. And it dawned on me afterwards, and she actually conveyed this, that she didn't think the all included her. And that's how we think. The all means everybody else, but not me, kind of a thing. So when you're talking to someone about this issue right here, all have sinned, and you've got your three verses there, so this time you're going to go to Romans 3. And this is going to be your next set of memory verses. Once again, you probably have these memorized already. Go to Romans chapter number 3 here. Romans chapter number 3. Romans 3. So, you got a simple outline here. Verse 23 is point number 1. 24 is point number 2. 25 is point number 3. See that there? You got a simple outline right here. So let's read verse 23 out loud together. And you got to remember, say the verse so you remember where it is. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See how simple that is? Remember we were saying yesterday too that when we're giving the gospel to someone, there's no problem with using an illustration, but make sure that you always use the verse. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is in the verse. These are God's words. The power is not in my illustration. Now sometimes the illustrations we use can help a little bit, just kind of explain some things, but you want to use the verse. All right? So, let's pick on someone here. Let's go. Tony. Okay. I'm a lost guy. Go and stand up. Tony, come on up. I'm a lost guy. Come on up here real quick. Okay. Give Tony a hand here. All right. He's not there yet, right? Okay. Now, all we're trying to do at this point is simply identify the first portion of this three-part step, right? So all we're trying to do at this point, he's going to convey to me that verse. Okay? That's the whole purpose at this point. The Scripture says, God's Word says, and by the way, when you're talking to a lost person, you don't need to say Romans 3:23 says, because they don't know what that means. You say, you know, the Word of God says, or Scripture says, or the Bible says, something like that, says thus and so. So all I want you to do, Tony, is you're going to ask me, hey, John, can I talk to you about eternal life?
Let me ask you something. Do you have some kind of faith? Some kind of belief?
Yeah, in myself.
Have you ever thought about eternity? Where you're going to be?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a pretty good person.
Well, did you know in the Word of God it says right there that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And you know, I consider that myself, mm-hmm. So I would consider that you also. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, what do you mean all of sin?
That means any transgressions. Do you know what sin means?
Not necessarily. I don't know. I mean, I know what my priest told me, but...
Oh, he did? Okay, yeah. So your priest told you what? That?
Well, like if I don't pray to Mary and stuff like that.
Oh, this has got nothing to do with praying to Mary. According to the Word of God, if we just detach from what tradition has been taught to you and just go right to the foundational truth, what the Word says is, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay, good. All right, excellent. So see how he did? He brought it right back to that issue. Thanks, Tony. Good job. Yeah, yeah. See, that's all he's doing. You want to bring it right back to using the verse. Now, we're going to spend more time on this point, but this is the first point. So, from this point, twice he said to me here, now God's Word says, you know, tradition said this, but here's what God's Word says, all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. As a lost person, what am I going to do with that? Most likely. I'm going to try to deflect it, defend it. It applies to everybody else except me. I don't murder, I don't, you know, cheat, I don't, except during tax time or whatever. What's that? And maybe I get angry. Yeah, yeah, because I'm fixing to get angry at Tony or whatever, you know. Who do you think you are calling me a sinner kind of a thing, you know? So what do we need to do at this point to bring it from all have sinned to you have sinned? And in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Jamie to come on up. All right. Anybody want else be a volunteer? Who else wants to be a volunteer? Nathan, come on out there. Okay. All right. Now what you're going to do, you're just going to do that three-step thing you did. Well, have you ever told a, have you ever done this? Just exactly what you were talking about the illustration the other day. Okay? Now Nathan's a hard dude here. Okay? But that's okay. So, all right. So, but he's given you permission already to talk to him about the Lord.
Okay.
So he's kind of a standoff hard dude only because he's been deceived by religion before and he realizes religion's not the answer. But that doesn't mean he's not looking for the answer. He just realizes, you know, religion seems like they just kind of, you know, are shysters out there. Okay. So what you're trying to do is you want to be able to quote to him Rome. What's the verse? What does it say? Okay, so you want to convey that to him and say, now let me explain to you how, see what that means. And then that's when you're going to go things. Have you ever stolen? Have you, just the same thing you did the other day. She's got a real new testimony coming up here momentarily, okay? All right, go ahead.
Hi, Nate.
Hey.
Good to see you again. You know what we were talking about? In the Bible, in Romans 5, verse 6, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Have you given that any thought?
Not really.
No.
Well, I mean, I heard you and I considered it, but I don't really like Christianity that much.
You know, I was thinking, have you ever told a lie?
Yes.
Yeah. What do we usually call people that tell a lie?
Liars.
Sure, yeah. We usually call somebody that steals
a thief.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever, I'll say the last one. By your own admission, you've lied and you stole, and you're a thief. So, when you go to heaven, you have to face God, right? And, would you say that you'd be innocent or guilty?
Well, I mean, I just do what everybody else does, you know.
Okay, but if you were to stand before God in the Ten Commandments, and would you consider yourself innocent or guilty?
Ten Commandments, I guess, I'd be guilty.
Guilty. And if God is offering heaven and hell, which one do you think being guilty is? Which place do you think you would go?
I go to hell.
Yeah, okay, good. That's excellent. Yeah, stay here, by the way. Okay, good. Give him a good hand. Yeah. The only reason I stopped, we're just trying to establish point number one in our minds, which she did that already. Okay, which is good. So, but yeah, she had a great, something really cool that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
So I want her to give a testimony about it.
I met a little girl. It was right after John's message, so I was all pumped up and we went over and I was talking to the little girl, the leader, and she was talking about baptism and everything, and they were from a local church in my area. So I turned, there was a little girl standing there about 10 years old, and I said, hi, are you saved? And Alan just kind of came out, and she said, I don't know. And I said,
that's a good answer.
We think you're a Bible camp, and we figure everybody's saved, you know. So I said, well, would you like to know? And she said, well, yeah. And I said, well, have you ever heard of heaven and hell? And she said, yeah. You know, I said, have you ever heard of heaven? And she said, yeah. I said, what do you think about what God did when he came down here and died on the cross for your sins? And she said, that was a really nice thing that he did for us. And I said, well, you know, would you like to know how to be saved? Now it's kind of the permission thing.
That was the question, sure.
And she said, yeah.
So she asked permission.
Yeah, I would like to know.
Right.
And she's just a little girl. And I said, okay, well, have you ever told a lie? And she said, well, maybe I have. And I said, well, have you ever stolen anything? And, well, maybe. Yeah, maybe. And I said, well, if you were to go up and meet with the Lord one day in heaven, would you think that you were innocent or guilty? And she said, guilty. Probably no. And it took her a while. And I said, well, being guilty, standing there in front of God, do you think you would go to heaven, or do you think you'd go to hell being guilty? And she took her and she, hell? And I said, well, would you like to know how to get to heaven? And so then she said, yeah. And so I prayed and did this prayer with her, and she accepted the Lord. And
yeah, so praise, that's really exciting, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So thank you, good job, yeah, yeah. By the way, real quick.
Was that bell a fire bell?
No, I don't think so. Real quick, Richard made an interesting point last night because I told him about that. He said that it probably would be good if we could find out whoever that girl's group leader was, just to let them know. Just, yeah, so we can maybe work on that today. But that's it. But you also, you made a real interesting point about that, you know, hey, we're here at Bible camp. We assume everybody here knows the Lord. And that isn't necessarily true. There could be some people right here in this room today that maybe you've never trusted the Lord. Maybe this is your first time even hearing about this stuff, and you're just not even sure what to think about this stuff. So it is something that every one of us is going to pass away. And that verse is very, very clear. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what that verse says. Yes, Joe, go ahead.
The point about that girl, she didn't have to stand in front of a crowd and walk up to a stand. She didn't have to voice out at this here.
Yeah.
She did it in the privacy of her own heart, made a conscious decision to trust God.
Yeah, excellent. Very good point. Okay, now, on the same point, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Remember, all, for a lost person, especially if you talk, if you say something like this, that all have won the lottery, what's that lost person going to say? Where's my money? But if you say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what's that lost person going to do? Everybody except me. Don't include me. So what you have to do is allow God's Word to come along and reach that person. So a great way to do it is use the law. Because that Paul does use the law right here in Romans to demonstrate man's need. If you look at these verses, look at Romans chapter 3 and verse 19 and 20. Romans 3 verse 19 and 20, it says this. Now we know that what things soever the what? The law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become what? Guilty before God. What's the purpose of the law in that verse? That's right. The purpose of the law is to demonstrate to the person that they don't keep it, and therefore, by the law, they're guilty before God. So, there are several ways that you can use the law. You can ask a question like, well, do you know what the Ten Commandments are? And most people will say, or you can say, have you heard of the Ten Commandments? Most everybody can say, yeah. And then ask them, you can say, well, do you know what they are? Most people will say yes to that question. But then they don't when you ask them, well, can you quote them? Now, they'll try. Okay, so who wants to try to quote the Ten Commandments right now? Anybody here want to try? See, Bert is trying, man. She's going. His sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant Bert, she's going, man. Okay. Who wants
to?
Okay, it's not my program. Robert, quote the Ten. No, stay on track here. Okay, quote the Ten Commandments. Okay, who wants to try to quote the Ten Commandments? Who wants to try to quote them? You know what you're finding? What you'll find? Sometimes people might be able to get six or seven, and that's rare. They never get them in order, and they never get all ten. Never, 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 never. They never get them in order, and they never get all ten. It's fascinating, okay? And even when they do quote them, they shorten them. You know, they kind of leave several words out and that kind of thing. And I can't quote them, and in order. But I know where they are, I can find them. By the way, you know where in the Bible you can find them? What chapter? Exodus. What is it? Exodus 20. But there are three that you can use and go right to every time. Which one? Yeah. Lying, stealing, and adultery. Because that gets everyone. Period. You ask them simple questions. You say, the Scripture says all have sinned short of the glory of God. Do you know what sin is? Tony asked me. He said, well, do you know what sin is? Well, I'm not sure. Well, let me ask you a question. So ask these three questions. Have you ever told a lie? Ask these three questions. Say, well, let me explain to you what the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me explain to you what sin is. Have you ever told a lie? Write that down. That's your question. That's question number one. Let me explain what sin is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me explain what sin is. Okay. No, I got to go on. Hold up. We stay on track here. Okay? So what you're going to do is this. You're going to say, have you ever told a lie? Now, what are they going to say?
A whopper.
They're going to say, they're either going to say yes or no, period.
I'm going to lie to you. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Most of the time, they're going to say, well, yeah.
In the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, or they're going to justify it, right? But most of the time, they are going to say yes. If they say no, then you're dealing with someone who just doesn't want to deal with what you're trying to talk about. So just say back to them, well, actually right now you just told a lie. This is your first one, so jot it down. Just tell them that's your first one right now. Okay? I'm saying shoot straight. They're being smart aleck back to you. You're not being smart back to them. You're telling them the truth. They just told you a lie. Most are not going to say it. Most are going to say, well, yeah, everybody does. See, again, it's everybody. It's all that big picture there type of thing. Second question is, have you ever stolen anything? The value doesn't matter. Have you ever stolen anything? Now, what are they going to say?
Only on my tax form.
What are they going to say? They're going to say, well, everybody does. And say, "That's I understand that, but have you... The purpose of this part of the presentation, when you're talking with them, is to bring the all have sinned to you have sinned. Because the defense mechanism is all is everybody except me. I'm not as bad as everybody else. So have you ever told a lie? They're going to say, well, yeah. If they say, well, everybody has. Say, yeah, but I'm asking you, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? And again, well, everybody has it. I understand it, but have you ever stolen? Well, yes. Value doesn't matter. Have you ever stolen? What's the third question? The third question is you ask the guys. Guys, have you ever looked upon a woman with lust? That gets all the guys. The girls, you ask the same question. Of course, you don't say, have you looked upon the girls with lust? Well, maybe you shouldn't at Second Peter or Second Mark or whatever. But you say, have you ever looked upon a guy with lust? So that type of thing. The point is, you're attempting to use the law to let the law accomplish its job. The law, the point of the law is to show sin and therefore demonstrate guilt. To come along and say to someone, you're going to die and go to hell, you might be telling them a true statement. But we asked the question yesterday that if a judge came to your house and declared you guilty of something and there was no trial, that person's going to feel like they were condemned unjustly. So when you say all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if you jump right to the issue, therefore you're going to die and go to hell, you're telling them a true statement. But the reason you're trying to use the law here is so they can understand why they're guilty, what they're guilty of. See that? So then they say, yes, I've told a lie. Yes, I have stolen. Yes, I've looked upon a woman's lust and so forth. So then what you can say is, well, by your own admission, therefore, you're a liar, a thief, and an adulterer. See what you just did there? And because you're letting God's Word do God's work, you can kind of separate yourself from it. Because you're saying, hey, this isn't me saying this. This is what God's Word is doing. Okay? So, let's see. Let's get a volunteer up here. Who wants to volunteer? Who has... David, come... Oh, David went yesterday, right? You did. You want to go again today or not? Dorothy's hiding her face. Dorothy, come on up here real quick. Yes. When I start asking for volunteers, everybody looks down like this, you know. Don't look at me. I'm writing notes, John. Don't call on me. Come on, I'm writing. All right, let's see. And come on up. Well, they know each other, so they'll kind of. Okay. All right. Yeah. We got to move on. Hold on. Okay. So, so Dorothy is, they're friends, which they are anyway, right? Close friends. Dorothy is the lost person, and she's religious. She's not antagonistic to hearing some things, but she's just a religious lost person. Anne is the safe person, and has been praying for and thinking about Dorothy for a long time. And so they're talking, they're out shopping together, and you have permission already to talk with her. And what you're trying to do is get established point number one here. All have sinned, and Dorothy, that means you have sinned. So you're trying to establish the need. Okay? Go ahead.
That's a good start, right?
Shoes.
You know, I was remembering what you were talking to me the other night about God. I need God in my life. And, you know, I try to do all the right things, and I know I don't always succeed, but I'm trying.
So I think what Scripture tries to relay to us is we in and of ourselves can do nothing. Like, we have to come to the point in our life where we realize that we need a Savior, that we have a need for a Savior, So let me ask you this, like, personally, you yourself, have you ever sinned?
Sin's kind of a little
big
concept. So, sin.
Well, Scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I guess, what is your definition of sin?
I guess...
For instance, have you ever lied?
Yeah.
More than just a little white lie?
Oh, yeah.
I have. And have you ever stolen?
Yes.
So those... And the measuring stick isn't you or I, because... I've lied, I've stolen, so I'm no better than you. But the measuring stick is, what does God say? So God's word says, if you've lied, you've broken the least of these in my commandments even, you've broken them all. So that would put you in the definition of a sinner, along with me in the definition of a sinner.
So that means...
So as a sinner, we're before a righteous and holy God, where would your eternal destination be? Heaven or hell are your two choices.
Well, I want to choose heaven.
Right.
But from what we're talking about and what I'm understanding, what I deserve is hell.
Exactly.
Okay, good. And that's the point. See that? Good, good. Excellent. Good job there. Yeah, give her a hand. Yeah. And that's really the goal, is you want to allow God's Word, use God's Word to... So that person is able to be brought by the verses to the place where they recognize their need. I want to go to heaven. I would choose heaven. But it sounds like you're saying that God's Word is saying I'm probably going to hell. See that? See how you established the need there? All right. So that was good. That's exactly what we were trying to do. So under point number one, what's the verse? What's the quote? Romans 3, what?
Romans 3:23.
What's it say? Okay, let me also show you a couple other quick things. Go with me over to 1 Timothy here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Watch this now. At verse 9. 1 Timothy 1, 9. 1 Timothy 1, 9. Just the first part it says. Actually, let me read the whole verse. It says, for knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. And who's that, by the way? That's the believer. Watch this. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for, and here it is, the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. What's a perjured person? If somebody commits perjury, what is it that they do? And it, yeah, something under oath, and it turns out it was a lie, and so forth. So you see a whole list there. What I'm saying is this, that even in the dispensation of grace, we're not under the law, but under grace, right? So why then am I suggesting that we use the law in sharing the gospel? If we're not under the law, but under grace.
Because we're saved, because everybody thinks they're under the law.
That's true, but what'd you say, Joe?
Because we're saved, we're justified. They're not.
That's exactly right. It's the believer that's not under the law. The lost person is condemned already. Remember that? So what you're wanting to do, you want to use the law for the very purpose in which God gave the law. If you look at the pattern of the Apostle Paul presenting the gospel pattern in Romans 1, 2, and 3, he uses two key issues. What he does with the Gentiles, he immediately goes to God as the Creator. Okay? And therefore you're accountable to God as Creator. When he goes to Israel, he goes to the law and demonstrates Israel, who got the law, didn't keep the law. And then he brings it all together. The whole world, both Jew and Gentile, they're all under sin. See that? So what I'm saying is that Psalms 19 says that the law is perfect, converting the soul. The purpose of the law is to demonstrate there's a soul need, an inner man issue need. And since those three, if you can use more than those three, have you ever lied, have you ever stolen, have you ever looked upon lust, the reason that those three are just so simple to use is because they get everyone. In fact, all of the Ten Commandments get everyone. But those three are simple. Remember that Christ said, if you look upon a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. So that's why that one, especially among the guys, it's a great question to ask. Sometimes among the girls, it might not be sometimes asking the question, is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it is. And we're going to talk later about these crunch questions and how to deal with the uncomfortable. But it really is, it is the willingness to ask the questions. Have you ever told a lie? One thing that Ann did as well that was good is she said, listen, I've told a lie too, so you're not alone. But I found the solution for that. It's my Savior. That's who I'm talking to you about. See that? So when it comes to this issue of what is sin, you can give the person the definition of sin, or you can flesh out the sin. You can say, well, sin is rebellion against God. Or you can say, have you ever told a lie? See the difference there? What's the difference? Is sin rebellion against God? Yes. That's kind of a big concept. But have you ever told a lie? What did you just do now? Yeah, personal, specific. See that there? Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? That kind of thing. All right, let's get some teens up here. Greg, come on up. Let's get a hand to the teens here. All right. Okay. Now we have who else? Allie, come on up. All right, here we go. We get the teens here, right? Now, okay. Now remember, mom and dad of both these are here in the room, so we'll see if they answer right properly, right? Oops. All right. So let's say that Allie is the believer, and she went to Bible camp, and she's just super excited about the Lord Jesus Christ, which she is, and we're grateful for that, right? And so she gets back to school, and Greg is actually a good friend of hers. He's a sports jock over here. He's a big basketball player and everything. And she's the head of the cheerleading squad and everything. So anyway, so everybody at school looks up to both these. And they're leaders in their class and everything. Everybody looks up to them. So she's learned something that she realizes he needs. And he's an influential guy in school. And she's saying, you know what? This guy needs the Lord just like everybody else. And she says, I need to talk to Greg. He's a good friend of mine. I want to talk to him about the Lord. Okay, so he's given you permission already. So we're just kind of passing forward through some of that steps. He's given you permission to talk to him about the Lord. You're good friends. You guys talk about a lot of different things. So it's not an antagonistic situation. But you really want to come and say, hey, Greg, man, I really came to find something that's pretty exciting. So you're trying to establish point number one here. What's point number one? Very good. So that's all you're trying to do is establish, so he can see his need of what you've come to understand. Okay? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got back from Bible camp. It was really fun. You know, out of all the things I think everybody needs to know, especially learning this at the camp, is that everyone, no matter who they are, they make one sin and they're going to hell. And the Bible says that all of sin comes short of the glory of God, and there is none righteous, no, not one. And I mean, it's scary to think that everybody sins, the Bible says so, but it's scary to think that no matter who you are, they're all going to hell. I mean, have you ever told a lie?
Going to hell?
Well, if you've sinned, have you sinned? Have you ever told a lie?
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever...
Ask him about the stealing ones. You can forget that.
You ever stole the ball out of someone's hand?
Yes.
Well, that automatically makes you a sinner. And I mean, it's scary to think that if Christ hadn't died for us and died for our sins, that we would all be going to hell. But you only get that if you believe it.
It's life to believe.
Yeah.
And what?
Well, Christ died for your sins. He was the ultimate sacrifice that paid for everything wrong you've ever done.
Interesting.
That's good. All right, give him a hand. That's good. No, that was excellent. To be able to, you know, try to use the verse, you could see obviously she had some real passion about what she's come to understand, and a real desire for him to come to understand this as well. So, and it can be uncomfortable. But it's probably going to be more uncomfortable here talking among your peers right now with people you know than just, especially if you're talking to a stranger.
You look like an attorney.
Yeah, I know, yeah. He's sitting like this, wait a minute, you know. Well, that's why I tried to set the stage that he's a big jock and she's the head of the cheerleading squad, so they're both influential and everything. So she's thinking, this dude's got nothing on me. I had to smack him up the face a few times there, you know. Bring him down the side, you know. What's that? Yeah, yeah. So, okay. I believe that, yeah. So, okay, so what's point number one? What are we trying to establish here? There you go. You're trying to convey to that person, you want to help that person see their need, is what the idea is. So just kind of keep that in mind. I know I'm really kind of watching the time there. But just keep that in mind, that's step number one. If you get frustrated in the conversation, if you're not sure what to do next, what's always a good thing to do next? Yes, well, certainly. Be praying through this whole thing. What's always good to do next? You know what it is? Always, if you're stuck, if you're not sure what to do, ask a question. Ask a question. Based on what? What you just said. Such as, you ever told a lie? Yeah. Have you ever stolen anything? Yes. You ever looked upon a woman with lust? Yes. Okay, well, see, that's the problem, is we've all sinned. And now you're stuck. Okay, what do I say next? Are you understanding now what sin specifically is? So ask a question to see if what you're saying, if they're getting it. And if at this point they're really fighting you and they're saying, no, that's everybody else, it's not me, what can you do? Remember, you can revert back and say, well, you know, you actually gave me permission to share this with you. So, are you saying you don't want to know anymore how to go to heaven when you die? And they might say, yeah, I'm not interested anymore. In that case, they just close the door to you. And that's fine. Great, let's talk about something else or whatever. But again, if you're stuck, if you're not sure what to do, just ask a question just to kind of check their understanding. Be prepared, though, if you ask a question, that they're going to want to take you off in a lot of different directions. All right? So the point of asking the question is to check their understanding, but to reset your thinking. That's the point. Okay, to kind of push reset in your thinking. All right? Because I promise you, it'll happen. You'll be sharing the gospel witness with somebody, and you'll think, okay, what am I supposed to say next, kind of a thing. And then you freeze up. Instead of just chill, just relax, you know, just let it flow out and everything, all right, so you can ask a question. What's point number two? Redemption is in Christ Jesus only. In fact, on that chart, you might even want to put only or alone. Redemption is in Christ Jesus only. Christ Jesus alone. Redemption is in Christ. This is God's solution. Point number one is man's problem. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. Point number two is the only solution. The only solution is redemption in Christ Jesus. What verse is that on your little chart there? It's verse 24. See how this is a natural flow here? 3:24. It says this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's another verse you're going to memorize. You're going to memorize these three verses together here, alright? So let's say these out loud together. We're going to start at verse 23. Ready? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Point number one is what?
All have sinned.
Yes, and in bringing up that point, what are you trying to demonstrate? What are you trying to convey to that individual? Personal need, not just at all of sin, but that you have sinned. Okay. Point number two is what? There is redemption. So God's solution, man's problem. That's point number one. God's solution. Point number two, man's problem. All of sin. God's solution. The redemption's in Christ. See that? There's just a step by step. Three steps. Real simple. Okay? Now, if you look at verse 24 again, it says this. Being justified freely, that's obviously great news, right? Being justified freely. In your presentation, you're not quite there yet, though. What you're trying to demonstrate, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Something I like to do with that verse there, when it says the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, I like to say to them, especially if you have your open Bible and they're reading the verse, I like to say, notice it doesn't say through the religion that is in Christ Jesus. It says through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because this isn't about religion, it's about a person. This is not about you joining religion to make yourself acceptable to God. It's not about you joining religion in order to take care of the fact that you've sinned and therefore have a need. It's about a person who paid the price. See what you're trying to do? So you're using the verse to help educate that person as to the solution. The redemption, which is paying the price, is in a person. It's not you paying the price by religion. See the difference there? Redemption is paying the price. A person did that. Jesus Christ. It's not you who said you have lied, you have stealed, you have committed adultery. It's not you joining religion to pay the price. See the difference there? Okay, let's get some volunteers. This is good. So we're going to do phase one quickly and then phase two here, okay? Lisa, did you go yesterday? Yes? No? Oh, we're going to see if she tells a lie or not, right? Lisa, come on up. Lisa, come on up. Get your hand here. Okay. Where's Nicole? She's hiding. She keeps ducking further and further. She's sliding down the couch down there. Okay, come on, Nicole. There we go. All right. Now, again, what we're trying to do here is, and the reason we're picking on the teens this morning is the adult said, you got to pick on the teens today, you know, so anyway. Okay, so see you with the teens, right? How's that good? Going. Okay, so all we're trying to do once again at this point is establish point number one, and then you want to, let's do it this way. You've already established point number one. Okay, she's a lying, thieving, stealing, what? Anyway. So now, she says to you, well, okay, so what do I do now? Meaning, you recognize you've sinned, so you're going to say back to her, well, okay, so what do I do now? What are you saying? In other words, you're conveying to her, okay, I kind of see this thing, now what's the answer? So that's where you're going to pick up with point number two. So go ahead and ask her the question.
Wait, what's point number two?
What's point number two?
Redemption.
So the solution. So she's asking you, what do I do now? So, oh, she's asking for the solution. So point number two is?
Redemption.
You have the solution. God's only solution. God's only solution. Okay? So ask her the question.
So how do I get saved? What's...
Well, God paid the price on Calvary and through His blood and through His redemption, you have an opportunity to be saved and go to heaven.
So see how simple that is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay, good. Keep going. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so keep going.
So just believing? Just putting faith in what God did, the cross work of Christ, that He died and rose again through His blood and paid the price for your sin and taken care of.
Okay, good. That's all you're trying to do at this point. Okay, very good. Give him a hand. Excellent. Good, good, good. All right. Okay. That's all you're trying to do is... All right. So what you're trying to do at this second phase here is you really want to pinpoint the issue that the only solution, that, and I keep emphasizing that word only, God's only solution, is the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. So what you've tried to do so far is you've tried to demonstrate to that lost person their personal need, and now when they see their personal need, you want to make sure that you're conveying to them from God's Word God's only answer. Think about it this way. From the standpoint of a person who's lost, and now the Word of God is coming and convicting them that I have sinned, I have done these things, I am guilty, what is every lost person thinking at that point?
So is everybody else.
Yeah, so is everybody else. But if they're really convicted, what are they thinking?
What do I do?
Give me good works to do. Okay, what church should I go? Should I pray? Should I pay? See, they're now going to start... Listen, you're battling that inner man and that flesh of that person. The flesh is going to now try to justify itself. Like, how can I do better? Yes, I did this in the past, but give me something to join. By the way, that's the reason why it's utterly wrong when giving the gospel to lost people to put anything to the blood of Christ. To tell them, confess your sin, make Him the Lord of your life, turn over a new leaf, walk the aisle. It's confess. That's why it's so wrong, because that person, under the guilt and conviction of his sin, is now going to start grasping for, well, I'll do. That's trusting himself. So that's why this point is so critical. Once they see their need, redemption is in Christ Jesus alone. Redemption is paying the price. He paid the full price for you. There's nothing you can do. It's the blood of Christ alone. And at this point, you can ask some questions. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you see how you can't pay for your sins? The blood of Christ already paid for. See what you're trying to do at this point? Okay? All right, who wants to go next? We need some volunteers. Josh, come on up. Hey, Josh and Emery just got here last night. So. Come on up, Josh. All right, let's see. Who else? Should we pick on Brother Jordan back there? Oh. Come on up, Richard. All right. We're going to hear real professional on this one, right? Okay. So Brother Jordan is just got back from Bible camp. All right. And he just got saved. No, he's been saved for a while, really. And let's say that he knows Josh from going to Grace conferences for a number of years and everything. And he's concerned with everybody that comes out to Bible conferences and everything. And he's talking to Josh about the Lord and everything, and Josh is kind of thinking through some of these things. He's already got permission. He's already established point number one, which was what? And now he's at point number two, which what he wants to do is demonstrate that, listen, Josh, the only solution is the blood of Christ alone. Okay, so Josh is going to ask him, because he's aware that, yes, I have done these things, and, you know, what do I do now? So that's kind of, that is your question, and so Brother Jordan will pick it up from there.
Okay. That's my question. What do I do now?
Well, Josh, if you realize that you're a sinner, sin separates you from God. Okay. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's not just been put under the ground. The Bible says that you can talk about all liars. Okay. We've already talked about that. Shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, the death of the guy that's inside of you, your soul. The only answer for death, how do you get rid of death? The wages of sin, what you earn for your sin, is death. That's the lake of fire. The answer for that, only answer for death is life. So God commended his love toward us, and that while you were yet a sinner, do anything to straighten it out, Christ died for you. So if your debt was death and he died your death, that's why he can give you the gift of eternal life. A gift is something you don't pay for. You just get for free. If I give you a gift, I pay for it. So God gives you life, that's the answer for death, as a gift through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the way you don't handle it, God handled it. And the provision that God made is in his Son. And it's in his Son exclusively. He just said, redemption that's in Christ Jesus. He didn't give the church, he didn't give religion, he gave his Son. And the answer is God commends his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the solution is in what God did for you, and he gives it to you as a gift. He okay. paid for it as yours.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah. That's it. All right, give him a good job there. Now, who is the more nervous on that one, by the way? But that was very good. Okay, so what were the steps that he established right there?
Wages of sin.
Okay, and he brought in some verses that we haven't mentioned yet that were our memory verses, such as Romans 5:8, God commandeth his love. You want to use that one? But he was really. By the way, did you see how personal the conversation was? It was a serious conversation. It was a relaxed conversation, but it was very personal, right? It wasn't overly intense. It wasn't just nonchalant. It was just this is just reality. See that? And no doubt, a lot of that comes with years of talking to people about the Lord. The first few times you do this, you're going to be nervous. Maybe even the 10th time or 50th time, but. Over time, you're going to find it'll flow more, that kind of thing. So that was good. What else was established? It was very good.
All liars shall have their place in the lake.
Yes. Yeah, very good. Okay. What time is it, by the way? Is it a quarter till? Okay, all right. Tell you what, let's do this. I'm going to give you two more memory verses. We didn't get to point number three. We will have to do this afternoon, so please come back at 1:30. Two more memory verses. Two more memory verses. If you look at Romans 5, verse 8. Two more memory verses. Romans 5, 8. Romans 5, 8. And it says this. But God... Let's all read this together. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you probably already have that one memorized. Anybody want to quote it for us? John, you want to quote that for us? Okay, go ahead. All right, go ahead.
But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Very good. See, that's a wonderful verse to have memorized and be able to quote to somebody, all right? Anybody just want to try that verse? Tom, you want to quote that for us?
But God commended His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Great verse. See how simple that is to use? Yeah, that's a great verse there. Nathan, you want to quote that for us?
But God commended His love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Very good. See that? And that's a great verse you can quote and then take just a moment to kind of explain it. And then the other one, go with me to Revelation 21. This is a key one. Revelation 21. This is a longer verse. You don't necessarily need to quote the whole verse. If you can, that's great. But there are just a few things in this verse. If you have a Bible that you can open, it's always best to actually open the Bible and show them the verses. And this is a good one to show them. You won't necessarily always have one with you. It's great to have keep one in your car, that type of thing. But look over to Revelation 21. Watch verse 8. It says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters." And what's the next phrase there?
Liars.
There's the one that you want to use. And all liars, what's the next word?
Shall
have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See that? The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So that's the part of that verse that you want to use. And what you can say, like what Brother Jordan just did, is you can say, well, the Bible also tells us not just that the wages of sin is death, but it says, and all liars, what? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Since they admitted to you that they have told a lie, see how that verse becomes effective right there? You can say, and all liars shall have their part. When we get to the point, which is going to be point number three, about asking them whether they'd like to trust Christ, this is a great verse right here to use in relationship to say, well, now, since you've already admitted you're a liar, that you've lied, and since that verse clearly says all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, if God is to judge you based upon His Word right there, what must He give you? See that? Say it loud, Joe.
Fire and brimstone.
See what you did? So you're bringing them to the place, holding them accountable. You're giving them the solution, and you're going to ask them, well, would you like to trust God's only solution? See how this is developing like that? Okay, go ahead, Joe.
Just the second one, and unbelieving.
Yes, and unbelieving right there.
It's
yeah, both those.
Get them and they don't want to believe what you're trying to give them.
Yes.
They're still going to get that same.
Yes, because they're unbelieving. Yeah.
Unbelieving.
Okay, good. All right. Any quick questions? Yes, go ahead, Berta.
I have been in situations where there has been more than one saved person and giving the message to an unsaved person. And in that case, then when they ask, what do I do, they start telling them.
Yes.
Oh,
I know. I know. Everybody understand what her dilemma is? If you're out witnessing with another professing believer, and you're not on the same page, when it comes to telling that unbeliever what to do to get saved, they're going to tell them, you're going to go, what? Well, don't tell them that. You're going, oh, man. So make sure, yeah, that's a very good point. Make sure that...
I just happened to be in a situation where, you know, not necessarily out with them, it's just somebody was talking. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, because they told that, yeah. And what you can do, what you should do in a situation like that, is that you say, you kind of take the conversation right then, you know what I'm saying? Just say, yes, the blood of Christ is alone. It is what paid the full price. Would you like to trust the blood? And the other person will probably back off and let you go ahead and take the lead, is what will happen. But you're exactly right. I've had the exact same thing happen before. And you're right. You know, it's like, oh, man, you know.
But if they try to argue with you, you don't.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, definitely don't argue with them in front of that lost person. Yeah, no. So, okay. Okay, let's do this. We're going to have to go over to the ropes course now. We'll be back here at 1:30. We'll start at 1:30. We'll finish this up and go to the next lesson. All right? If you're going to...